What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
And welcome back to What the Health. This week I'm joined by fellow Love Island contestant Adam Maxted and professional wrestler, may I add. How are you? Can you hear me? Are you there? Oh, can't hear you. Have you got your... Is it muted? Is it on?
There we go. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you now, yes. How are you, love?
Apologies. I'm all good. I'd literally just finished with clients, so I'm in a mad rush. I just got back in, so my bad for being late.
Don't worry. Better late than never. That's what they all say. So, let's go straight into it. I want to ask you some quick fire questions. Let the audience get to know you a bit more if they don't know you already. Three words to describe yourself.
Weird. funny. And... yeah. Quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. Fella. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, do you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be like. They see like the gym and the muscles and the tattoos and they think I'm going to be like this like serious like fuckboy like lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You know what I mean? Okay, I love that.
That's actually how I would describe myself.
Okay, upper or lower body in the gym?
Lower. Love training legs.
He's an anomaly, guys. We don't normally get men that do that either. What is your go-to cheat meal?
Pizza.
Yeah, what would you have on it?
Do you know what? I'm a pineapple on pizza guy. Pepperoni and pineapple with some chicken, maybe for a little bit extra protein so you feel less guilty.
Yeah. That's what I do. Yeah. I always add extra chicken to my pizza, but I can't have pineapple because I'm allergic to it. How sad is that?
But in your head, you're like, you know what? At least I'm getting some protein in.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what I'll do is... I'll fast the next morning and go train legs and then I'm using the calories from the pizza for the leg day. So it's fine.
My guy, see? Okay, what is your workout anthem?
My workout anthem?
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably...
I'm intrigued about this one. Where's life?
When you're looking like that.
What? When you... Come on, sing it for us.
Like, you know what? Usually it's Chris Brown as well. Like, it's Chris Breezy, but then it might go to a little Westlife. Then it could go to Slipknot. Then it could go to George Michael.
Okay.
Like, I love all music, so it just kind of...
So that's surprising. I thought you were going to say... Yeah, I listen to like Slipknot, those kind of things in the gym. And then I change about just towards the end of the session. I'll go to more pop music because I'm like, I've got it out of my system, you know? But when I'm like first getting into it, I need that bit of a kick up the arse. But it's not Westlife. So just
I'm
you for that.
I'm singing in between sets and people are just looking at me. And this is what I mean. Like, I'm just weird.
I love it. Okay, then. Well, talking about dancing... How did you first get into dancing in the wrestling ring?
I just loved wrestling, like growing up when I was younger, and never really thought it was a possibility to do it like as a career. But then I started seeing people from Ireland were getting signed to WWE, which is like the biggest wrestling company in the world, and it really opened my eyes that it was maybe a possibility. So I started the gym, I was getting in shape, and then I found two wrestling schools back in Ireland. And when I started, they were like, Adam, you have a lot of potential with how you look. You're a handsome chap, you're in decent shape, you could probably... you know, if you took this seriously, end up making it to America. And I've never looked back since. I've like been wrestling like 8 years now. And I just did three shows this last weekend. I was in Newcastle, Scotland and Yeovil. I only got back yesterday. So I'm still trying to make it big in America. I've got an American visa in my passport now. So I feel like I'm in my prime and you will see me on TV in America one day on Sky Sports Wrestling for a big wrestling company. So
that's amazing. Congratulations. Would you say your proudest fitness achievement then? Getting your American visa and getting over there?
Yeah, like I'd say... And I also had a WWE tryout a couple of years ago, so they're looking at me, they're keeping an eye. It's kind of like football, you get scouted. Anyone that's doing well in wrestling, big companies start looking at you. So I know I'm on the radar. It's just all about, as you know about life and stuff, it's all about timing and you can't rush stuff. And
yeah.
I was supposed to get signed by WWE a couple of years ago and then it didn't happen. And I was a bit frustrated, but then you realize as time goes on why certain things don't happen at the same time and you've got lessons to learn. And it actually made me stronger and more resilient because I've had to look within myself and go, right, if I'm not going to be a pro wrestler like full time, what else can I be doing? Which is why I'm back into like the mindset coaching and the self-development and the PT and stuff again now. So
that's amazing. What's that saying? Whatever is meant for you won't pass you by.
100%.
That's what I'm living by these days.
Yeah, you have to. And like that can be difficult in the moment when you're like, why has this happened to me?
Yeah.
Why me? But then you've just got to suck it up and like have gratitude every day for what you do still have and just believe that things will iron themselves out. And they usually do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So is there any misconceptions about wrestlers then? Because like, listen, the way you've just described yourself to me, like in the music that you listen to, like who you are as a person, like also how mindful you are. That is not how somebody on paper would probably describe a wrestler. You know what I mean? Like we probably think that you'd walk in and be like, or like, you know, guns blazing. So is there any misconceptions that you would like to debunk about wrestling then?
Do you know what? Like, my wrestling character is like very cool, calm, collected, cocky, very sure of himself. Like, I'll walk up to guys, girlfriends in the crowd and like flex in their face and be like, you know, she'll be thinking about me tonight. She wants to come home. Like, do you know what I mean? It's, as a wrestler, any reaction is good. The worst thing you don't want to be walking out in front of a live audience and get no reaction. That's the worst thing. So whether you're getting cheered or booed, it's good. And like, I just love being a bad guy. It's so much fun winding up people. And like most wrestling fans aren't really gym people. They don't really, you know. So when I walk out and I'm baby oiled and I'm in my tiny little spandex pants and I'm posing and they're just like, look at this prick. Like, look at this bell end. It's so easy for them to hate me. And then I can play up on that. And I can,
yeah.
Like, if I had a guy wrestling move, I'll start doing push-ups in the ring and then I'll like pop my pecs and be all. And it's just, you're there to entertain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's performance, you know what I
mean? Yeah. So, but I think misconceptions are, you know, people would look at me and go, oh, yeah, you do that fake stuff. And like, wrestling is not fake. Like,
I was going to ask you, you know, wrestling is, so there's like sumo wrestling where they actually like, you know, like karate chop each other. But like the wrestling that you do you actually like fight and hurt each other or is it just performance based?
No, like, well, my face is kind of cut from Sunday night. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, we still hit each other, but we're not trying to, like, physically, like, UFC kill, like, knock someone out, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we still connect with a lot of moves, but it's more like a choreography.
Okay.
And then go out and perform. So, if you, like, the easiest way, Strictly Come Dancing, yeah, they have a full week where they go over their dancing and they go out and perform it at the weekend, yeah? I would turn up to a venue and have maybe 20 minutes sometimes to come up with a full wrestling match and then go out and perform it. So you have to have a really good memory. You're like an actor. You're like a stuntman. You're performing. So you've got to be athletic. You've got to be physically fit because it's actually really demanding all the moves that we do.
Yeah.
Carrying a grown man's body weight and like throwing him around. And do you know what I mean? So it definitely doesn't get the credit that I feel it deserves for people that don't really know about it. They just go, oh yeah, but it's all fake. And it's like, you try and get in a wrestling ring and take one of the moves.
You try and pick me up, mate. Go on.
Even like a body slam, for example. Like, let me give you a body slam and come back up and tell me that's fake.
Yeah, yeah. Question, have you ever considered doing anything like a bit more violent then, like UFC or anything like that?
Yeah, but I don't want to, you know, I'm not a bad looking fella. I don't really want to have those cauliflower ears and the, you know what I mean?
I'm partial to a cauliflower ear. I think it makes it you look like you've been through something.
Okay, like...
Go and get a cauliflower,
you know. I love UFC. I love mixed martial arts. Like, I watch, like, all the time. And I've done a little bit of Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. And it's more the respect thing. Like, those classes, you'll have a 50-year-old man on top of you with his elbow in your throat, and you can't do anything about it. Like, so it's the respect element. So I think just, like, people like Bruce Lee back in the day, like, stuff like that, all about the mental resilience and, like, the dedication and all that. I love that side of it. But it's... it's not something that I've got into, but I'm never say never.
Yeah,
you know, if I got asked to do like a boxing fight or a Misfits UFC fight, I'd be up for it because I'd love the training side of it as well. Like, anything that takes me out of my comfort zone, I want
to
do it.
Yeah, I've been asked to do a Misfits fight, and I literally said the same thing. I was like, I only have one face, and if my nose gets broke or something like that, then no thanks. Okay, so if you could wrestle any celebrity, who would it be?
Any celebrity. I'm trying to think who would be.
Someone needs to be like your height, your size. Come on, you've got to be fair about it. It can't be like a little weasel.
Like, not wrestlers, obviously.
Not wrestlers, just anyone.
Do you know what? Maybe I would take on one of the gladiators that's on TV at the moment.
Which one? I've interviewed a couple of them.
Maybe like the Matt Does Fitness guy.
Oh no, not him. Okay.
Or maybe like Anthony Joshua or something.
Jesus. Really? You reckon you could take Anthony Joshua?
In a boxing fight, probably not.
But in a wrestling match.
In a wrestling match, I back myself.
Okay, fair. Okay, so I have to ask you then. You recently was on Love Island All Stars. Did you love it or hate it, or how was that for you?
I enjoyed it more this time, if I'm honest, even though I was on the show less time, but I was just proud to get to go back on and show how old, like, not saying I'm old, I'm 32 now, but the level of maturity that I developed since I was on it when I was 24, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a different guy now, I'm more confident in myself, like, I know who I am, and it was good to be able to go in and kind of show that, whereas years ago, because I was so focused on trying to make it to WWE, I didn't come across as my real self. I was very conscious about, like, things that I said or, like, stuff that I did,
Yeah.
And so I wasn't really being like my authentic self. Whereas this time I was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna go in and just be me. And
100%.
If people don't like me, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm glad I did it. Like, it's helped open some doors again. And like, it had been what, like 7 or 8 years since I did it. But
yeah,
I just, you know, I say to people now, it's like, I don't want my identity to be like, oh, you're Adam from Love Island, because I know that I'm so much more than that. Like, you as well, like, you've got your fitness, you're smashed out. Like, you don't want to just be labeled for the rest of your life as someone that just did a reality TV show. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I think some people go on the show and then they've got to try and hold on to that forever because it's all they have, or they try and keep themselves in the public eye doing certain things or going to events because it'll keep them out there. Whereas, like, I'm a guy, I want to be known as, you know, Adam, the mindset coach, the trainer.
Yeah,
the
100%.
That also did Love Island, not just Adam that did Love Island. He also does this stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly how I look at it. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm so grateful that I was given the platform. And but I was the same as you. Like, I feel like I've changed so much since I did the show, like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, whenever it was now. And I mean, I was 25 when I went on. I'm also 32 and I'm a completely different person. Like, I've done all of these amazing like things. Like, I've got my own radio show now. And, you know, it's, and that is because I went on Love Island, but it doesn't that doesn't
define
me. Yeah. As who I am. I'm Gabby Allen that did Love Island, but now she's got her own health and wellness radio show and does fitness, you know, things like that. So I completely feel that, but I think you came across really well on it. So that's good. But so you was with Arabella on there, right?
Yep.
How's that?
No, do you know what? Everyone, as you know, when you come out of the show, the fans want to know what's happening, why he's not seeing each other. Like, we were never boyfriend and girlfriend ever. Like, I knew the girl like a week. But all the fans are like, oh, when are you guys seeing each other? Like, and I'm like, well, we're not even like official. We never became official. So like,
and also you have to bear in mind that like when you're in there, like, you kind of have no choice, right? Like, you know, if you're coupled up with somebody and there's like everyone else is coupled up, they, you know, if that's the person that you have to just try and make it work whilst you're in there, but you might have not actually been that well suited when you came out.
I can't fake stuff. So like, the first time I was on it, I was coupled up with a couple of people like on season two, and it was friend zoned instantly because I just felt nothing there. Whereas with Arabella, like, there honestly, there was chemistry there. We did get on really well. Like, I did like her. Obviously, she's a stunning woman, but when we got on the outside, for me personally, she had just come out of a really high-profile relationship before she went in, and I don't think she got the time to process that.
Right.
So there was a bit of moments where I knew she was maybe a little bit caught up on her ex.
Okay.
And I was just like, I'm at a stage now in my life where I'm not going to be an option for someone. I'm going to be someone's choice. You either want to be with me or you don't.
Damn right.
And I, if not, I'm happy by myself. I'm good. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm doing my stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I basically just said, you're like, I'm not going to second guess myself whether you want to be with me or you want to pursue this. Like, if there's a hint of you that maybe wants to go back with your ex or still wants to maybe see what, if that door's still open, like, I want that for you because you obviously like the guy, fair enough, but I'm just not going to wait around.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? And so that, and there's no hard feelings. Like, there was, like, we knew each other a week. We got on really good. We had that experience together. And like I've said to her, like, I wish her all the best and I hope she's doing good. And
yeah, you know, good
it
for
is
you.
What it is. But yeah, it's just life. And I think, again, people just, you know, they want the fairy tale endings.
So yeah, of course.
To stay together, but it's, you know,
it's Love Island. I mean, there's literally there's a handful of people that get married and have kids, but the rest of us, we're just cracking on with life. Question: you know, you said you mentioned before about Strictly and that. You know, because you are a wrestler and you can do all your choreography. Would you do some other shows like Strictly or what's the ice one? What's it called?
Dancing on Ice.
There we go.
Yes. Yeah, like, I would do stuff like that, 100%. Personally, I'd love to do SAS, Who Dares Wins.
Me too. Oh my God, how sick would that be?
Or The Challenge. Like, I want to do stuff.
I've done The Challenge. It is hell. Hell.
Like, but I want to do stuff like
You'd
that.
You'd be amazing on it because, like, I think the lads that are like you that, like, literally just throw themselves into it. But I've never really done any, like, adrenaline sports. And I would have considered myself competitive, you know. I've done sports, but I've not done, like, I was hanging off a frigging helicopter over the Icelandic sea fighting people on a frigging netball. And that, to me, that's not fun to me. So there was that, and then also you're in a house with, like, loads of people that you haven't met before. It's like Big Brother, right? And they're all against each other. The mental work that it takes is even harder than it takes to do the physical stuff. So if you think that you've got that in your locker, then absolutely, I'll message the person now being like, get Adam on the show.
Do you know what? I probably would struggle more in the house, like you're saying, because I'm not like a two-faced person, or I'm not.
It's hard.
See when there's a load of egos in a room, I am comfortable in who I am, but I don't need to step up to your level to try and prove that I'm the alpha male. Do you know what I mean? I'll just show you in other ways. Like, what's that? Confidence is quiet. Insecurities are loud.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So when there's all these people, like, and it could be even like out in a bar, in a restaurant, when I see lads that are trying to be over the top and being loud to get the attention, I'm just like, I ain't going to try and compete with you. Like, I know who I am. I know I've got my people, or I know, you know, which group is going to be attracted to me or wants to hang out with me. I'm not going to try and go, okay, there's a couple of alphas over there. I better try and be something that I'm not to try and get up to their level. I'm just like, I'm going to do me. So I'd probably struggle more in the house in that environment than actually the physical challenges. But I'm just a very chill guy in general. I'm just like, man, you're just embarrassing yourself. Sit down.
Well, if you won the challenges, you would have the higher, like, you know, stand anyway, because everyone that wins the challenges, you normally are, what's the word? Like, you don't have to do eliminations and stuff. So basically you just have to go in and just have to win everything. So then you don't have to deal with all the ag of everybody else. I love how your outlook on life. I think that's obviously come with experience, and, you know, you've done lots of things, and also the mindset, the mindfulness that you are presenting is amazing. And I think it's really important for men to, like, look at you and, like, see, because I don't meet a lot of men like you that have that positive outlook and, you know, are so confident within themselves without it becoming arrogance or and, you know, presenting itself like that. How have you got here, and what would you advise anybody getting into the fitness space or any journey that they're currently trying to pursue?
You know, I initially got into the gym and stuff through being bullied growing up, like, insecure, skinny kid. I remember getting beat up one night by these two guys, and I didn't even fight back because I just felt so, like, vulnerable. I didn't even try and protect myself. And so I remember after that being like, do you know what? I don't want to go through that feeling again. I don't want to feel that helpless. So, like, my mom's a personal trainer. I've always had, like, a fitness background.
Amazing.
But I remember going, right, okay, I need to build myself up. So getting big and becoming a big guy has almost been like a shield of armor for me. So, like, anywhere I go now, I know that I'm a big guy, right? I know guys would probably think twice about starting a fight or messing with me. Now, don't get me wrong, if I'm in a bar or a nightclub and there's a group of lads and they've had a few drinks, they'll back themselves. Do you know what I mean? People change when they drink. But from day-to-day life, no one has messed with me since I got in shape. So it's always been like a pain point for me. I've been like, you know what? I need to stay big. Like, I love the gym now. Obviously, it's became a lifestyle, but that was my pain point initially. And I just think, like, you know, guys especially, I think there's more pressure on men in this day and age now to, you know, have a good body, to look good, to have a load of money in the bank, to be successful. Otherwise, certain women aren't going to give them the time of day. And, like, I've spent a lot of time in Marbella living over there, and I've seen where guys think they need to come to a beach club and splash a load of cash, otherwise girls are going to sleep with them or spend time with them. And, like, it's just sending out the wrong message of, like, and, you know, even Love Island, the show itself, like, as you know, like, you line up and you stand up for whoever you find attractive. So it's teaching the younger generation that you should really base if someone's, you know, a good person or nice on how they look. And it's like, someone could be a phenomenal looking person, a really, you know, beautiful woman, a good looking guy. But if they're not a good person inside and they don't have good values and they don't have good morals, then that actually makes them really unattractive. So I think just work on yourself first. Try and get to a place where you're comfortable in your own skin. You know, find your circle, find your people. Don't feel like you need to change who you are around different people to try and fit in, because, you know, I've been guilty of that in the past. Even when working in Marbella, I've done things that, like, I'm not proud of because I felt like I needed to fit in with the crowd and, like, come across a certain way. And now I think it's something that comes as you get older. You kind of get rid of the driftwood and you kind of figure things out as you grow into yourself. And it's something that comes with age. But I just think for guys especially, it's like, just, you know, and women, work on yourself constantly. And, you know, with the whole relationship side of things, so many people have to be in a relationship. They go from one relationship to the next because they can't just be alone. They don't want to be alone because they can't handle it. Or maybe that's when, you know, their insecurities kick in. And it's like, just work on yourself. Get comfortable by yourself.
Yeah.
Be proud of who you are. And, you know, when the right person comes along, like, hopefully you'll be in a better place from it. And yes, you need to go through certain situations and certain relationships to kind of open your eyes to what you want and what you don't want, or what you've got what red flags to look out for in the future, what behavior traits, but also maybe what you maybe need to work on.
Exactly. I think it's like, essentially, know your worth, but also know what you bring to the table. I love that from you. Thank you so much for joining us today, my love. It's been amazing talking to you. Good luck with everything. I hope you get to where you want to be in America. I'm sure you will. And yeah, maybe I'll meet you one day.
Thanks.
Have a great rest of your day. See you,
Thank
my love.
Thank you very much.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me in the studio was AJ and Curtis Pritchard.
When I used to go on Strictly, I used to think of it as like a public service. I'm entertaining somebody for 90
and we
seconds.
And salute you.
And
thank
just like,
you, AJ.
I want people to forget about their problems. I know it's a really weird mentality.
No, it's a... You are right in a way, right? Because there are people
that
never
made the final.
There was no need for that.
What the hell with Gabby Allen. I'm joined by fellow Love Island contestant, Adam Maxted, and professional wrestler, may I add. If you could wrestle any celebrity, who would it be?
I'm trying to think. Who would be...
Someone needs to be like your height, your size. Come on, you've got to be fair about it. It can't be like a little weasel.
Maybe like Anthony Joshua or something.
Jesus. Really? You reckon you could take Anthony Joshua?
In a boxing fight, probably not.
But in a wrestling match. Yeah.
In a wrestling match, I back myself.
Okay, fair.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
TikTok sensations Jack and Sorrel. Iconically, there have been some amazing celeb couples. Who would be your favourite of all time?
David Beckham and Victoria.
Girls.
I just think, like, the twists and turns of it all, but still being together like that, that to me is... peak celeb.
For me, do you know what? I just love a good power couple. We had Beyonce, Jay-Z. Like,
yes.
I want them to reign highly. I want them to be girl bossing, man bossing, just bossing throughout, and us obsessed with them separately and together.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
And joining me now is Charlotte Black, founder of Self Love London. Hello, Charlotte.
Hello. How are you? Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Bit more calm now that you're here. So, tell me, how did you first get into self-love coaching?
Okay, so I started my journey into kind of learning to love myself about 7 years ago. And the reason I wanted to be a self-love coach is because I didn't know how to love myself. So when I was a teenager, I really struggled at school and I really struggled with self-confidence and really loving myself and having self-respect. Mm. So I set up Self Love London to keep myself accountable, to learn how to love myself. Mm. So I didn't start it as like a coaching business. I started it as a kind of online community platform to keep myself accountable. And it went quite viral a few years ago. So that's where it began, just from that little seed of needing to learn to love myself.
You know what? This is so apt for today. I don't know if you saw my story earlier, but I was having, like, this morning, I was having a bit of a... I've been struggling with anxiety recently. Mm. And what I found is, like, I'm lying in bed and I can't seem to shift these negative thoughts. And then I've, like, come up with this new mantra where I literally, like, say, like, five things that I want to be. Like, what is it? I'm smart, I'm independent, I'm successful, I'm something. And I have to repeat that over and over, and it kind of eases my heart rate.
Mm, absolutely.
But it's something that I'm trying to, like, work on as well, like the self-love thing. So I think I'm actually going to... I'm like, maybe I should come and see you.
Absolutely, I'd love that.
That's why you set up Self Love London.
Yes.
And I hear that you are doing a self-love retreat.
Yes.
In a few weeks.
So next Monday. Okay. So it's coming really soon.
So tell us about that.
So it's called the Women in Wellness Retreat, and it's all about bringing women who work in the wellness industry together to connect and to collaborate.
Can I come?
Absolutely.
Oh,
we've actually
God.
Got two spaces left, so if you want to come.
Okay.
So it's really about bringing women together to share business contacts, to share ideas, because when you're self-employed and you work for yourself, you don't have colleagues to bounce ideas off. Mm. You don't have that same support network that you would have if you're in a 9-to-5 job. So as a wellness practitioner who does work for myself, I wanted to create that.
Yeah.
And I run monthly supper clubs for these women. So this is the retreat version, is in the Cotswolds, in like a 5-star house for 3 nights next week. So it's going to be absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's my first ever retreat.
Oh,
so
you'll smash it.
Excited and nervous at the same time.
You'll smash it. I think you're like, you know, I do retreats as well. So I think if you... know when you get there, like, what you're trying to give, you know what I mean? You'll just fall into, like, this natural energy and you'll be able to, like, you know, provide what you need to do.
Yeah.
You'll smash it. Okay, so how important is it then for me and everyone else listening? How important is it for practicing self-love to your emotional well-being? Is it a process to do every day? Like, how do you, you know, tell me how to do it?
Great question. So it's integral to your emotional well-being, I believe. So it's not something that you ever kind of reach the peak of. Mm. So even though I'm a self-love coach and I do this every day and I look after women every day, it doesn't mean that I'm like at this peak of self-love, that I kind of know it all. That's just not how it works, which is actually quite reassuring for everybody else. So it's a journey that you'll be on for the rest of your life. And it's very much intrinsically linked to your mental well-being and your emotional well-being. But self-love is a little bit deeper, and it's really about the relationship that you have with yourself, mm. and what your thoughts are and how you treat yourself, and the way that you respect yourself on a day-to-day basis. Mm. So it's something that, I mean, it's a really big question, I guess, to answer. But I think starting really, really small is a really beautiful way to learn to love yourself. So when you wake up in the morning, like, what do you do first? Like, do you grab your phone first? Or do you take, like...
Is this a personal question?
Well, I mean, sometimes I still grab my phone first. I still have to, like...
You know what? You know? Recently, I have... So, as I said, I've been having a bit of anxiety, and I find that when I'm on my phone, it's worse.
Of course.
So when I've been getting up in the morning, normally I do look at my phone, because normally I've got emails and or messages to pick up from the night before. But I do find that when I'm lying there in bed on my phone, my heart, I've got heart palpitations. So I'm now trying to go out with the dog, and then when I'm out on the walk, then I'll get my phone out and look at it, because I'm like, at least I've had some time to just be on my own.
Absolutely, because it's like the first thing you're doing in the morning is you're not serving yourself. Mm. You're serving an algorithm that's created by humans that is real but not technically that real. You know, it's all fabricated. Mm. And the first thing we're doing is looking at that. We're being fed all these different pieces of content and information and comparisons to our own lives. Yeah. The first thing we do when we open our eyes, it's not going to set us up for a good day.
Yeah.
And it's really dysregulating for our nervous system, which I would say calming your nervous system is one of the most amazing ways to learn to love yourself, because I suffer with anxiety too, on and off, and my biggest healer has actually been nervous system regulation.
I need to know more about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Okay, so that being said, social media has warped our understanding of how we see ourselves. What's that saying? Comparison is the thief of joy. And even though you think, I mean, I've muted so many people on Instagram.
So have I. I do it all the time, it really helps.
It does help, but it's also like, I feel like that's like solving my problems, when actually like I should probably spend less time on there. But also like, why am I letting them make me feel a certain kind of way, you know?
Mm.
So how do you feel social media has warped our understanding of self-love?
I think it's completely warped our understanding of self-love, because self-love has been a buzzword for the last few years. And I feel like about 5 years ago, it became a thing that loving yourself was normal and it was okay, and it wasn't egotistical to have self-love. And it went from like bubble baths and eye masks and, you know, having a glass of wine in the bath,
superficial,
which is
things.
Obviously lovely,
yeah.
But it's fluffy. And I love the fluff, but the fluff doesn't heal you. Mm. And I feel like there's so many accounts now that create these, I'm sure you've seen them, these like perfect morning routines, which are really fast paced moving content of like waking up in the morning and making your bed and pouring your perfect iced latte into your perfect little cup and then going to Pilates and wearing your beautiful little outfit and walking your dog. And it's
not real.
It's not real. And they're beautiful, and they're actually quite like therapeutic to watch, because they go, oh, look, you're doing all these little things, and it's ASMR and it's really nice to watch. But it does feed into your sense of, you know, self-love, because you're thinking, well, who's this person who's got this perfect kitchen, this perfect morning? Mm. Like, I'm getting up in the morning and checking my phone and then having a coffee and a croissant, and I'm not really like doing what I think I should be doing. And then I'm seeing all these people online creating this fabricated version of self-love.
Of what, like, the perfect, like, looks.
And it's
like,
not true. Yeah, yeah. Like, no one's life is real, exists like that. Mm. But it's affecting us profoundly, because we're thinking, well, my life needs to look like that if I'm to love myself.
Mm. I think that's why people follow me, because they know that my life is chaotic.
But everybody's life is chaotic. I think
I'm like, today is being a whirlwind, guys, and they're like, yep, same.
But that's amazing. Like, anyone I follow on Instagram that I really connect with shows the truth.
Mm.
They say, like, I'm actually having a really rough time right now. That's beautiful, because that's life. No one has this perfect cookie cutter existence.
Yeah, I cannot show you the real life in my flat right now. It is terrible. So I have to ask you, what is one thing that you would tell your younger self then, before you started doing all this self-love work? What would you tell 7 years ago you?
Oh, that you are like unconditionally enough, and it is unlike the way that you are loved and the way that you are enough is unwavering. It cannot be shifted by anyone or anything. It's like a seed that is born and created within you. It's like this little fire that ignites, and you keep like putting wood into it and keeping it alive. And just because someone like throws water at it and tries to put it out, like it just comes straight back. Mm. So it's not something that can be controlled or decided by anyone else. Like your self-love is yours, like only. And I used to think that the more people that liked me or wanted to spend time with me or boys that were attracted to me meant like I could then justify loving myself. Mm. Whereas I don't believe any of that's true now. I really create that in myself. And I absolutely have wobbles, but my self-love is created within me, and that's where it lives. And I would have loved to have been told that, because I went through all these ups and downs figuring out what that actually meant and what that actually looked like.
Yeah. And then lastly, what is the first tip that you would say for practicing self-love? Where'd you start?
I think I teach this thing called micro goals in a lot of my programs and one-on-one sessions. And it's taking tiny little steps every single day to improve your life, like that 1% method. So instead of going, I need to overhaul my whole life, I don't love myself, I don't know where to start, that's really overwhelming and probably comes with a lot of negative thoughts. You go, what's one little thing that I can do today? And that might actually be like eating 3 meals a day and not being super scatty with the food that you're putting in your body.
Okay.
And like spending time with people that you love and muting accounts on Instagram that aren't making you feel good. Like tiny little things, they all build up, and they build a world where you are loving and valuing yourself rather than having this overnight overhaul, which I've tried to do so many times.
Yeah.
And it does not work.
So small changes lead to big results, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming today. I'm definitely going to be dropping you a message because I feel like you can help me in more ways than one.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Good luck with your retreat.
Yes.
I'll also be messaging you about that. It's been a pleasure having you on. I hope you have an amazing day.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my love.
FUBAR Radio presents
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Joining me now is the fabulous and fellow Northerner, Rachel Wolford, who won The Apprentice 2024 this year. What is your workout anthem?
Oh, I mean, no specific tunes, but I love drum and bass and I love R&B.
Same.
So anything like that.
Same. Love drum and bass. I was actually on the tube this morning. I wasn't listening to drum and bass, but someone else was listening to it. And I was thinking, oh my God, people must hear that on the tube and think we're nuts. You know, like when...
I know. I sometimes, when I have a new playlist and it starts playing for clients, I do sometimes think, have I taken this too far?
They're like, okay.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
And joining me now in the studio is Ola, founder of All Things Money and a really good friend, actually, as well. Welcome to the studio. It's great to finally have you in here. Have you had any failures with your money?
I think it was like a couple of years ago now. I spent money on a designer handbag, and literally that designer got cancelled maybe like a week or two after. So it's in my house and I've never worn it out.
That's really sad. But that could be like a unique masterpiece, right? That is one of a kind. They don't make it anymore. So you can
No, they still make it, but I just don't. Maybe the time of cancellation is probably past now. But at that time, I remember what I just bought it. I said to my sister, I was like, can I wear this out? She's like, Ola, if I were you, no.
Oh, cancelled in that kind of way.
Yeah.
Got it. Cancelled.
Access all areas.
We'll keep this one short because me and Ella ain't the biggest of football people. Yeah. But. From what I do know, we played yesterday. I believe it was our second game so far in the tournament. Is that right? Or possibly third? Thank you, producer in my year. But I'm told we're top of the charts.
Top of the group. Oh, my God. I love this little sports segment.
We should do this every week.
Now over to Bobby with the sports.
Here comes my sports show. Come on, England.
What's your predictions?
On the edge.
Who's going to win? I
want to win.
Okay, Bobby's
going to
win the Euros.
No, not me.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
And we are back. Hello, hello. Are you back with us? You better have been, because I have this stunning Steph Williams with me now, founder of the WeGlow app. Hello, my girl.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for coming in. So, I want to ask you some quick fire questions so the audience can get to know you very quickly. Because I followed you for years.
Yes.
But just in case they don't.
Okay, yeah.
So, three words to describe yourself.
Oh, scatty.
Yeah.
Driven and sporty.
Yep.
There we go.
Perfect. Workout in the morning or evening?
Morning.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Upper or lower body day?
Lower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would be your dream workout partner?
Oh, my, The Rock.
The Rock.
First person that came to my head.
I mean, he's because he just hench.
It would be quite fun.
Yeah. And what is your favourite workout anthem?
Oh, favourite workout anthem. I love Brent Fayez.
Yeah.
I always listen to him when I'm working out.
Really? I feel like he's not like...
He's not like boom. No, but it's kind of like gets you in your feels.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Also, Scatty, I would never have thought you were Scatty.
Yeah, well...
Because I'm so scatty.
No, I am.
But I look at you and I feel like she's so together.
Oh, no. This is the misconception.
Okay.
Yeah. You just...
That makes me feel
like
better
about
my life.
Shit together, but none of us do. Sorry.
Okay, good. Same. Okay, so let's talk about your on-off relationship with exercise.
Yes.
Tell us more about this.
So, on-off relationship with exercise. So, I guess I have always worked out since I was a child, so I used to play hockey and sport,
yes,
like all my life, and then I was diagnosed with endometriosis.
I did not know that.
No. So I have endometriosis and fibroids, which I've had two operations to be removed.
Shit.
I was diagnosed with endometriosis like 2017, and I've always been super.
Maybe I didn't know this. I
always been like super sporty. Kind of took a rest from it, really missed it. Like my mental health took a massive dip as well. And then actually, yeah, I got diagnosed with endometriosis because I had like severe tiredness, all the symptoms that come with endo. And then it basically meant that, yeah, I was super tired and I wasn't able to work out to the capacity that I thought I was capable of. Mm. So I kind of switched up my workout routine quite a lot, going from, because then when you first enter the fitness space, it's kind of very much weights and that's what you see and that's what you know and that's what I've trained as. Mm-hmm. But actually, I started incorporating a lot more low impact Pilates walks. And
yeah,
actually,
I've seen, because you've got Pilates trainer on your app now, right?
So I'm a Pilates. I qualified as a Pilates instructor as well. Yeah. Which was something, trying to juggle businesses and then learn something new again.
Yeah.
Was definitely a challenge.
But you did it.
But we did it. Yeah. And I think it's really important to be able to like learn new things.
100%. I've wanted to do Pilates training for years. Yeah. But every time I go to look at it, it's like this big, long course. And I'm like, I can't even get anything done these days, let alone add something else in. So good for you.
Yeah, no, it was. And I'm so glad I did it because I love it. And the combination of weights and Pilates together and how it just kind of, they marry so well. It's genuinely been such a game changer for me with my workout routine.
Mm. Has that helped your endo then?
Yeah, massively. I think when I was just doing heavy strength, I was getting so tired. And also I was like, what am I lifting this weight for?
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, well, who are you trying to prove it to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was like, let's reassess. Like, why do I love to work out? What's it about? And it's to like make myself feel
good. Yeah. You know what? I actually had a moment. I did turf games on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was horrible. It was horrible. But it was so fun. But it was like savage, right? Yeah. But I wasn't the best in the room. And I hate that. And I was like, oh, God, I haven't trained like well enough for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I don't normally think I am. But then when I was there, I was like, this is so annoying because I was good at like some stuff, but then not very good at other things. Anyway. And then I was like, why do I actually need to be good at this though? Yeah. Like, can I not just do it for fun? And then I was like saying, my new ethos, guys, is aesthetics over strength. I just want to look good.
No.
I was like, that's what I did. But I was saying, like, saying this trying to like cover my back. I was like, you know, that's why I'm shit.
Yeah.
But
also it's like when I've done like classes and stuff before and the blokes were like, lift that heavier weight. And I'm like, no, like I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to lift the heavier weight. Like I know what I'm capable of. I know what works for my body.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of like, I know what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if you're working out to feel good, you're going to look good.
And also, I think with social media as well, like when you see, like I follow people and like these girls are like squatting crazy numbers.
Yeah.
So then it makes me feel like I should be doing that
as
well.
I know.
Do you feel that too?
Do I feel that too?
Like impacted by what you see on social media?
Yeah, I think everyone's like impacted to an extent, but I try not to let it swamp me, and I think I just try not to scroll and see it. But yeah, I think when you see these girls, I'm all like, power to you.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, you're an OG fitness influencer though. I've, like I said, followed you for years. So I think maybe you've kind of just got used to it and you just take yourself away from it.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I think as you get older, priority shift and things like that as well. But yeah, I mean, incredible, but I just know with what I'm like, and I think as well with running businesses, I don't want to feel tired. And I think the like Pilates gives you energy, whereas sometimes strength training can feel like you need to nap.
I mean, I nap every day.
But, you know,
so tell me about your businesses then. I know that you've got Weeglow.
Yes.
And you've got Steffi.
Yes.
Steffi, is that how you say it? Steffi? Yeah, is that from Steffi?
No, actually, it wasn't. But now it kind of like makes sense. No, basically researched high-end brands and brands that do really well. And it tends to be like Nike, Puma, obviously.
Just like one
four,
word.
One word, four letters. Mm. S, I love the way it looked. We like looked up words for like sophisticated, da-da-da-da. And then we just landed on Steffi, and I was like, oh my gosh, it just...
It's lovely. So for anyone that doesn't know, Steffi is a activewear brand.
Yes.
But I feel like it's not just activewear. It's like saucy activewear.
Saucy, yeah.
It's just everyone looks good in it, basically.
Yes,
so what made you want to do it, and what made you want to make it different to others that you on the market?
So I've grown up playing like sports, as I said, like my whole life, and having to wear like loads of different activewear the whole time. And I always had such a thing with my thighs. I got like teased and bullied.
You've got the best thighs in the world.
Thank you. But yeah, growing up, I still have this thing in my head of like, oh, my thighs, because I think conditioned from when you're younger.
From back in the day.
Complex, yeah. Exactly. And so I never wore shorts, never ever. And I never wanted to get my legs out. And so, and when I did wear shorts, they dug in, they felt uncomfortable. And so I was like, there's a gap in the market here, which I wanted to tap into.
Yeah.
To create activewear that actually flatters you, is comfortable, but also wasn't like overly like contoured or anything like that, so that I felt like I could wear it then in my everyday and feel and look put together. So yeah, that's
athleisure.
Kind of athleisure, exactly. So that's kind of why, how it was born. And then yeah, you've got to have a
and
bit
is
of sauce
well?
In there as well.
Yeah, you definitely need the sauce. Yeah. I love the high-waisted bodysuits that you originally came out with.
Yeah, the low
See,
back.
I've got complex because I don't have a waist. So, like, I'm, like, straight up and straight down. So I put one of them on and I look like, I'm, like, Borat.
No, that's actually... Hey, Borat, you know.
I mean,
it's
sexy
vibe.
Borat.
It's a vibe.
Borat
exactly.
with blonde hair. So tell me then more about this hockey world that you... So you played for... Who did you play for?
Wales.
Wales?
Yeah.
In the international Welsh international team. How was the pressure of that, like, playing for them?
Do you know what? So I... Because I'm a bit scatty, I think a lot of the time I just don't... Like, I don't overthink it until I'm there because I am a bit of an overthinker. So I think until I'm kind of, I just try and block out the noise and just turn up as if it's anything else. And I guess when I was younger, I was training like every single weekend, probably from the age of like 14 to 19, like most days at school. So it was just kind of was what it was.
Are you one of those people like me that you like, everything's done last minute because you know that you can do it last minute. It's just better to just think about it then.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll think about it when I really have to. And then I'm like,
If anyone, like my manager's here, my business like partner might be listening and he'd be like, can you not do that? Can you just be more on it, please?
Yeah,
and like, no, this is how I work.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know how I'm programmed. The editor is what it is.
Literally. So you've been on the scene for so long now. You've got 2 million followers, is that, on Insta? Wowzers. Do you... So you say that you're not pressurized by seeing other people, you know, work out and like lift. But do you feel ever pressured by seeing what other people are doing? You know, you've got two businesses.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, I feel like I'm always chasing my tail. I'm like, I want to be doing more.
Yeah, I think there's always more to be doing. I think especially with like content creating and stuff as well. It's like, the sun comes out and you're like, oh, I need to use the good light. Oh my God. And everything. Yeah, I think as women, we definitely feel pressure regardless of social media, and I think it definitely does add that little extra layer of pressure and comparison. But I think I've been doing it for a while, and there's always going to be moments where I'm like, I'm not, what I'm doing isn't good enough, but I put enough pressure on myself.
Yeah.
And I think it's from not even having to look at what other people are doing. I think I, as a person, I'm like, I need to be, this is what I should be doing.
Yeah.
And like looking forward.
That's
and,
good. You've kind of found a process that works for you.
Yeah, and I think having people around you, like good people around you who support what you're doing, support your goals and keep you grounded.
And because you're married and everything, aren't you?
I am.
Amazing.
Yeah, Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Alex, if you're listening. He's definitely not.
So speaking of which then, talking about it being hard for us fitness influencers. I mean, we have a hard life, don't we? No, I'm joking, guys. But according to a recent study, yes, fans of fitness influencers tend to be healthier but also more depressed. Do you think influencers have a responsibility to be as transparent as possible with their fans? Because as I just said to you, I would never know that you were scatty. But and like your followers might not even know you're scatty. Yeah. But like, what do they want from you? Do they want you to be like, guys, well, I am scatty?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you follow my YouTube, I think you can probably see the
there's like slightly a different right, fine.
Side and like sometimes on my stories and stuff. But yeah, I think sometimes it's difficult to capture the real you in essence sometimes because you're busy and you're amongst it and you're doing it. And so, you know, just quick take a picture of me like, it's difficult to share that. But that's really sad that people say that people follow influencers.
They're healthier but more depressed. I think it's because like, they obviously, you know, follow people like me and you and can take good stuff from it, but then the comparison.
Yeah. You know. And I think something to help that is to, I think, focus less on what that person is and trying to be like them, because I spent so many years when I was younger trying to change myself and then I was like, I am me, I'm gonna do what feels good for me in terms of exercise and stuff and take inspiration from people rather than trying to be someone like we've just said, like, oh, you're small, we're small girls.
Yeah,
like I always looked at girls with like really long legs and I was like,
I know, I'm like, know? Why like, am I so sure?
Why are you trying to chase something that's
just be the best version, or try and be the best version of yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that looks different every day. And
also, you know when you see people do a day in the life?
Yes.
Like, so my day in the life, honestly, if I'm doing like a shot in my kitchen, I have to clean up the kitchen, put everything, all the shit that's in the kitchen in the living room.
Yeah.
And then once I've done that part, I have to put all the shit that's in the living room back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, this is not a day in the life. I should do that as the day in the life.
I know, literally, just getting all of that. I know.
That's what actually
makes a video or anything. It's like all like clean. And then underneath it is just like the massive, like, I'm like, where is this? What am I doing?
Honestly, I'm like, you know, it's stuff that you see on Instagram. I'm like, you have to take really look like that.
Yeah.
Like,
and you have to take it with a pinch of salt, I think, because it is created to, you know, take inspiration or things like that.
Exactly.
You have to see it as it is. But yeah, I think TikTok's quite a good space for more chill vibe as well.
Yeah, it is. I don't even think I've got it on this. I've got a new phone, so I didn't download it. Oh, I just can't get with it. I've tried. I've posted a few videos when I got my boobs done and they did really well, but then I just can't. It's another thing to do.
It is.
Right, so I want to talk to you about these jabs, because I was talking to my mum about them the other day and she said that she wants to do them. You know, the Ozempic jabs? So we're talking about like feeling body confident, things like that. There's these Ozempic, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
They're basically weight loss jabs.
Yeah.
What do you think about those?
Well, I just think it's another trend, isn't it? It's like when I grew up, it was all about the like thigh gap. And that was so toxic. And all we saw were, you know, stick, thin, tall girls. That's all I saw. And which is why I think social media has a big positive now. Because you can see so many different body types, which I think is lovely. Because it's like what you can relate to. But it's just another trend. We don't know what
the outcome is going to be.
Effects are going to be of it. And it's just sad. It's just another thing that, like, we're trying to shrink yourself. Women are shouldn't, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're being very nice and diplomatic about it. Mm. I think it's stupid because I'm just like...
I just that kind of podcast. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just like...
It is.
You know, come on, like... well, this is how I said it to my mum, because she wants to go on these pens. And I was like, listen, mum, can you just go on a diet and exercise?
And also,
I know, obviously, it's not the same for everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, people do have things. I'm not that brutal and that much of a bitch. But when it comes to, like, just not wanting to do all this stuff that you can actually do.
And what exercise and nutrition gives you is amazing because of the discipline, the motivation, the endorphins. Mm. It makes you feel so good. If you're not happy and you're trying to then find, if you think being a smaller version of you is going to make you happy, you're still not really dealing with the underlying...
Your misery.
Your misery. Yeah, I think, it is stupid. It's just another trend and it's just something that's probably going to be damaging further down the line. You know, it's like getting your bum done, and then it's getting your bum removed, and then it's getting this yeah. done and that done.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
kind of like, when does it all stop?
Although I did get my boobs done and they made me really happy.
Yeah, so if it makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like,
there you go. You my misery is disappearing.
Yeah, so there we go. Done. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's. But yeah, it is frustrating because I think with these trends, you can get into your head. You're like, oh God, yeah. should I be more of this or.
But also with the with those pens, you apparently it all comes down to nutrition at the end of the day anyway. So at yeah. the end of that, like once you've done the pens and once you've lost all the weight, if you don't...
See, I thought it was a pill.
No, it's like a full-on jab.
Right. Because when you said jab, I was like, jab?
It's
I thought
for...
we were talking about boxing.
No, like, sorry. You know, this is... it's for diabetes. People with diabetes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
like
I thought it was...
But yeah, so if you lose all the weight but then you continue to eat how you did before... You're just going to put it back on and probably more.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, in like, I assume you have a community
yes.
For WeGlow.
Yes.
Do you like talk to them about your body positivity, like journey and things like that? How do you kind of, you know, talk about this stuff with them?
Yeah. So on the app, I share all like my workouts, live workouts. We have like loads of variety of, we have yoga, meditation, things like that. But I think that safe space for me with that community is probably more on my YouTube. Or like stories, I would say that's kind of the space where we talk about body positivity. Mm-hmm. But there's a fine like line of body positivity and like what I see on social media. I think it can be kind of a little bit toxic sometimes.
Mm. Where people do like the before and after photos.
Yeah, before and after. I think it's, yeah, or like, you know, it can be amazing. And if it makes someone feel great, that's perfect. But, you know, like, if I'm, for example, like going to crunch my body up and then be like, this is me now and then this is me after and things like that, it's kind of like, well, I don't know, see how that's necessarily going to help people. So I think there's just a way of going about it. And I think working out to make yourself feel good is kind of what I try and
100%.
Push, because that's also ultimately what's going to keep someone like consistent and
exactly because then, you know, if you do work out to feel good, you're going to go back and do more of it. And then the other stuff is just benefits, right?
Yeah.
Like if you want to lose a bit of weight or grow your bum or something.
But also DMs.
Yeah.
I voice note quite a bit because I'm also really dyslexic. So
I'm a voice noter too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, like literally podcast via voice
note.
So yeah, DMs with them and everything like that. But I feel like very lucky with the community, touch wood. It's a safe space and everyone's pretty positive and maybe it's because I've been doing it for a while. So.
Yeah, yeah, but that's amazing. And I think you've obviously learned so much on your journey from, you know, in your own, with your complexes and overcoming them, things like that, and actually using them to make a bloody brand about it. You know what I mean? You know, that's amazing. And I think that's really inspiring for other people to see that if they know this journey now.
Yeah.
What would you say to anyone starting their fitness journey?
Starting a fitness journey, yeah, I think just to go back on finding things that you enjoy. Also, actually, I think understanding the intensity of how you should be working out.
Mm.
Because a lot of the time, girls are like, oh, I've done a workout, it's so boring. I like don't like it, I don't get results, done. But, you know, in the gym, they're just kind of not really understanding.
Flapping around.
But that's not anyone's fault, because they haven't seen what the intensity should be like.
Yeah.
So I think actually understanding how hard you can work, because once you kind of hit that intensity, the endorphins and everything, it feels really good, and then you want to kind of do more of it. But yeah, I think just find something that
you enjoy
which is going to keep you consistent. If you can find like-minded people, I think that's something that I'm now also like for myself, like trying to find like women in their 30s who are like-minded and who you can like go together and things like that, I think was definitely what would help.
Yeah, I love that.
Someone's fitness
journey. And like just, you know, following someone, like doing it, I think that always helps. Like seeing, as you said.
Like when you do your, you know, I love watching your retreat things that you do and like your workout videos. It's like the vibe and you can see how hard someone's actually working.
Yeah.
And energy, feeling off someone's energy. If you hate it, classes, anything like that, I think is...
It's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can feed off. It always helps when someone's like shouting over you, right? Going, do more.
Go more.
Like me. Like, how much do you want it? That's what I always say. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
So
it's been amazing having you on.
You're
beautiful and you are amazing at what you do. So everyone go and have a little look at Steph Fit on Steph Williams on Instagram.
Steph It. OG.
Steph It. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Thanks for coming on, babes.
Thank you.
It's been lovely chatting. Okay, so now it's time for a couple of your questions, guys. And these were some fun ones this week. So the first one was Ivy said, what is your biggest gym pet peeve? And I'm like, oh, girl, where do I get started? So first of all, when you're sweaty and you don't wipe it off. So I was a proper sweaty bitch yesterday in the gym, right? It was literally dripping down the machine. And I thought, some people would actually just leave that like that. I would be so embarrassed, like, to just leave it. Like, you know, literally the chair is crying with sweat. But some people literally leave that. Like, come on, guys. Have a bit of respect for other people. So that's just one of them. But there's a few more. People hogging loads of equipment. So also in the gym, there was this guy, and he must have been doing a tri-set or something. So, like, three exercises back to back. Which is fine. But then he was also having like 2-3 minute rests in between. So I'm like, not only are you using one or two machines that I actually wanted, but you're also like, you're just taking so long. And like, maybe this is me being impatient. But I'm like, come on, especially if it's a busy day in the gym, like, see that other people also need to use, or let somebody else jump on. Like, but he wasn't giving me the vibe that I could jump in and also use the machine as well. So yeah, there's that one. And then the last one is people looking at me whilst I'm trying to like lift heavy, and my face is like all screwed up and just not very cute. And I'm like, I need you to stop looking at me whilst I'm doing my facials, please. So yeah, they're my pet peeves for the day. I would like to know yours though, guys. What is everyone else's pet peeves? And next question was, cut out alcohol if you want to lose weight. This Freya said, should I cut out alcohol completely in order to lose weight? The answer is no. It depends. Like, of course, drinking every day is not going to be great for anybody, but it's also not great for, yeah, the calorie intake. You know, like one glass of wine is like 250 calories, something like that. So if you have four glasses of wine, it's 1,000 calories on top of your daily intake. So in that way, yeah. But I think I always say to my clients, if socializing is part of your lifestyle and you're socializing and you enjoy it, then don't cut out things, because you're only going to go back and like binge or do them at an even higher level maybe. So just make wiser choices. Choose like one or two socializing events across the month. If fat loss is your goal, by the way, you can like maybe introduce more over the summer or like later on, like after you've reached your goal. But, you know, choose your battles, basically. You don't always have to drink when you go to socializing events. But if you do and you need to drink, then choose cleaner drinks, like, you know, lighter options. Choose one or two a month, and also just don't like overdo it and end up getting in at 4 a.m. crawling up your drive. You know, just try and just be a bit more mindful about these choices, because I find that it's not just that. Once you've been drunk, well, once you're drunk, you also want to eat like KFC and pizza, and the day after you want to eat a takeaway Egg McMuffin. I'm just talking from experience. But you know, it's like, if that's what happens when you drink, then just bring down the amount of times that you do that, because then it's not four times a month and the extra 10,000 calories that you eat. And then lastly, Ralph asks, and this is very apt because now we're coming into summer holiday time. What are your top tips for staying healthy whilst on holiday? Oh, I've got loads. So first of all, is try not to overindulge just because you're on holiday. I do it every single time. I'm like, oh my God, there's an all-inclusive buffet. I'm going to eat all the croissants, all the bread rolls, all the pasta, everything else. When I don't eat any of that stuff at home, because I know that it bungs me up, sounds for the information, but bloats me and just makes me feel like lethargic. But as soon as I'm in a bit of sun, I'm like, oh, none of those things matter anymore. Don't do it, because day three, you won't have been to the toilet for 3 days and you just feel like a big beached whale. So try and like be a bit mindful about what you actually do in your real regular life. Also, make sure that you're moving your body. It doesn't mean that you need to go and try and hit BBs in the gym, but, you know, go to the gym, do like maybe a little circuit or something. Don't hog all the weights now. Or just get outside and like, you know, walk a beach walk or a beach run, or just do something. Because I know for myself, like, it makes me feel so much more body confident to be in a bikini once I've actually like got a bit of a sweat on. Maybe it's placebo effect, but it definitely does make a difference. And then lastly would be, you know, drink loads of water. Try to avoid all the dead, heavy, creamy cocktails and just like make wiser choices. Maybe have one of them, but then move on to something a bit lighter. And then lastly, if you're going to indulge in one meal, if you're going to indulge in a meal, have it as one a day. So if you know you're going out for like a big fancy dinner, then have that as your indulgent and look forward to it. And then across the day, just eat lighter options, have a light breakfast, have a light lunch, and drink gin and tonics rather than pina coladas. And on that note, I'm going to go and I will see you very soon in a few weeks. Make sure that you send in any listener questions like the ones I've just answered to our show, to our show's Instagram at What The Health Show. And yeah, until next time, have an amazing few weeks and I'll speak to you soon. Lots of love. Goodbye.